This is the intersection of assistive, educational, and information technology. Whether it's technology for inclusive classroom learning or tools for community success, technology can promote independence, and inclusive technology has become more available for everyone. Welcome to the Inclusive Technology for All podcast with your host, Mike Murata.
Hey there, welcome to episode 54, which is scheduled to be released on September 30th, 2019. Coming off a great week. We had our AT conference last week here in New Jersey. Had 175 people join us, which was awesome for a full day of learning and sharing about AT. We did put all the resources up online, so take a minute, go over and visit the digital schedule at bit.ly/NJATS19schedule. Each session is listed, and there should be a shared Google Doc with all the session resources there. So we have some good stuff today to talk about in this episode, but I want to know, what do you want to hear about? Let me know. Leave me a voice comment. Leave me a message on SpeakPipe at speakpipe.com/ITS podcast, and I will post it in an upcoming episode. All right, let's get started. It's been a busy couple of weeks for Apple. Last week, we discussed some of our first impressions of iOS 13, and this week, we get our first look at iPadOS. Once you have explored these new operating systems, I'm curious, what are your first impressions? Did you find a new feature that you feel will be a really powerful, inclusive feature? Tell me about it. Leave a message at speakpipe.com/ITS podcast. Make sure you leave your name, where you're from, and the feature you found, and I'll play those messages during some upcoming episodes. But just like iOS 13, the accessibility features in iPadOS have also moved to the main settings menu. And you know how excited that makes me. All the updated accessibility features that we saw in iOS 13, which I discussed in our last episode, are in iPadOS. So features like spoken content and voice control. If you want to check out what I mentioned about those, check out last week's episode 53, for the deep dive into those new features. So this updated operating system for the iPad seems to be Apple's first step towards positioning the iPad as a laptop replacement. And you see that in a lot of their marketing campaign. Is it there yet? I don't know. Maybe. What do you think? Let me know. All right, let's talk about some of the iPadOS features. So the home screen has changed on the iPad, and now we have the ability to have widgets on the side. And also, the app icons have shrunken down a bit, so we have the ability to have more shown on the screen. The Apple Pencil features have been improved in the iOS for the iPad. There's a redesigned tool palette. There's some new markup tools, and also the ability to take a screenshot by dragging the Apple Pencil from either bottom corner. There's also a new keyboard feature called Floating Keyboard. With the on-screen keyboard open, pinch it from the top to the bottom, and the keyboard will shrink down to about 2.5 inches by 1.5, maybe about that size. On the small keyboard is a bottom toolbar. If you touch it, you can drag the keyboard around the screen to anywhere you might want it. The floating keyboard's small, which is great, allows you to see more of the app you're in. And also with that small keyboard, individuals with physical impairments may have better access due to limited reach needed to access all the keys. So do you want to work in two apps simultaneously? It's no problem with iPadOS. Just use the slide over feature. With one app open, just slide an app from the dock and it will open up alongside your current app. You can even have two windows from the same app open. So if you're working in Notes and you want to start a new document, you can open these right next to each other. This is an interesting option, especially for individuals that struggle with the steps of moving between apps to complete a task. This could help them kind of navigate around and have everything available right in the front view. Perhaps the biggest accessibility update that was delivered with iPadOS was the addition of mouse control. Mouse control is kind of a hidden feature, and it's not really called mouse control, so let's get into it a bit. Under the physical and motor heading in the accessibility options is the touch option. This is the new home for assistive touch, which is our existing feature we have to support physical access to the device. Select assistive touch to get into the menu, scroll down and you will see a couple options that provide physical access to the device. Under pointer devices, the first choice is device. Select that option and you'll be able to pair just about any Bluetooth pointing device. I say just about any because there are a couple devices that are not supported, namely the Magic Mouse and the Magic Trackpad. But connecting your Bluetooth mouse to your iPad produces small circles on the screen, which looks similar to the assistive touch gesture feature. Moving your mouse around the work surface will move those small circles to the desired location on your iPad. Click the buttons on your mouse. It's like magic. It works pretty well. Definitely check it out. Connect something to your device and try it. Another hidden gem in this setting list is mouse keys. Those of us that have been around built-in accessibility for a while know mouse keys. You turn it on and now you can move the assistive touch pointer around the iPad screen with the keyboard number pad. Another nice way to add some physical access support to a tablet device. There's also the setting to tap the option key 5 times to activate the mouse keys feature. As I continue to explore both iOS 13 and iPadOS, I'll post my thoughts in upcoming episodes. I also included a link in the show notes to an article from Apple that describes the full list of new features in the iPadOS. Don't forget, I'd love to hear what you think about these two iOS updates. Leave a voice message at speakpipe.com/ITS podcast. Make sure to leave your name, where you're from, and your feature you want to talk about, and I'll play it during an upcoming episode. Are you in the New England area? Well, then make sure you plan to join us for the Technology for Specific Learning Disabilities Conference on October 16, 2019. This full-day conference will be held in Wakefield, Mass., and I am proud to be one of the organizers along with Karen Janowski. We have assembled an impressive list of speakers that will be sharing insights about the power of technology to support students in the K-12 learning environment. Concurrent session topics include using Google Keep to promote student organization, apps and extensions for student literacy, the power of multimedia for learning, how to support students with executive function, and what the research says about which technologies support learners with high incidence disabilities. This is sure to be a powerful day of learning and sharing. Hope you'll be able to join us. To learn more about the conference, check out the website where you can also register. The website is bit.ly/TSLDconference. Amazon announced a new accessibility feature this week called Show and Tell. This feature rolled out on the Alexa Show devices. Simply hold an object up in front of the device and say, "Alexa, what am I holding?" Using object recognition technology, the device will try to identify the object for you. Amazon engineers worked with the Vista Center for the Blind and Visually Impaired in Santa Cruz, California, to refine the feature and bring it to the public. I've been exploring the feature and have some mixed results so far. When you first hold the object in front of the show, you will hear a tone that will get louder as you move the object into, I guess, what I would call the sweet spot for the camera. The show was able to recognize a water bottle that I held up, but struggled to identify a large cooking spoon. I'll continue to hold things up to the show and see how the feature progresses and improves. Do you have an Alexa show? Give it a try. I included a video in the show notes that shows you how that feature works. Want to find other people interested in inclusive and assistive technology? Well, then join us every Wednesday night on Twitter at 8 p.m. Eastern for AT Chat. Each week, Karen Janowski and I lead a hour-long discussion about tools and strategies for inclusion and accessibility for individuals with disabilities. This past week on AT Chat was the first open forum of the year. There's no set topic. People are encouraged to bring their questions, and the wisdom of the group will provide some answers. As with all the open forums, this one was a winding conversation that touched on many different topics. People shared some initial thoughts on the iOS 13 update, and we discussed some upcoming conferences people are excited about attending, including ATIA. a couple topics of conversation, even got us some guest moderators and topics for future chats. It's always nice. If you haven't explored the chat spreadsheet yet, go to bit.ly/atchat19-20 and check it out. Some of the upcoming topics include Beth Poss leading a discussion about cultural proficiency and equity in AT, Carol Zangari discussing AT issues and trends, Kelly Sudig talking about enhancing writing with AT supports, design thinking with Chris Bouguet, and self-care for AT professionals with Cassie Frost and Elisa Wern. Tons of other resources were shared during this week's chat, and I'll post the link to the Wakelet archive in the show notes.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoy the podcast, please subscribe and leave a review. Do you have an idea for a future episode? Leave an audio message via SpeakPipe at speakpipe.com/ITS podcast with your suggestion. It may appear on an upcoming episode. To stay current on all things inclusive and assistive technology, follow Mike on Twitter at MMATP and visit his website at MMATP.com. For inclusive technology resources and all the previous podcast episodes.